Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Westendorf, and welcome to this week's edition of Great Questions and Great Conversations. I'm Mike Westendorf. I'm the host of this. It's a podcast that we do out of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in the Bridge in Muskego, Wisconsin. So we're happy to have you here. And with me again today is Pastor Pete Panitsky. Good morning, Pastor Pete.
Good morning, Mike, and everybody who's listening.
It is. It's great to have you here. Let me tell you where we're going today. Pastor Pete and I were talking off air about this. There are times when you may be listening to this podcast and going, do they have a point? Are they trying to get someplace? Because sometimes it seems a little bit unstructured. Welcome to our world a little bit. Sometimes we know very much what we want to be able to tackle and talk about. Other times it's a question that comes up and it really is a conversation, just like you would have at home as you're mulling over and trying to wrestle with something. And so today, Pete and I are going to be wrestling over something that I asked to wrestle with. And we were talking off air. It's like, I'm not sure where this is going to go. But really what I wanted, in some ways, I hope it might be instructive. These are just two Christian brothers who are wrestling with a topic. I'm the one who kind of has the question and something that I'm wrestling with. And we'll see what conversations come out of it. I have a feeling it could go in a number of different ways. And as you listen to us, you might have some questions that come up as well on the topic. And I hope it also might give you an opportunity to say, what is wrestling with God's word and the application of it look like as Christians try to do this? So welcome to two guys who don't have all of the answers, trying to wrestle with this topic. It came out of our podcast last week. Does God love me or does God love my behavior? Does God love me or does God love my behavior? And there are two trains of thought, just real quick context on why this I struggle with this, is that I oftentimes feel like being a Christian in the world and in the church, I have a strong judgment sometimes against what other people do. And then I look in the mirror and I see some of the same things in me, and I see that I don't behave. So the whole on nature of a hypocrite, and I struggle with that. And yet I hear this marvelous gospel promise that we talk about every week. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. But it can start to become a bumper sticker and not really mean stuff. And then as I read my Bible, I start seeing these little passages that do talk about God's desire for us to behave in a certain ways. And for me, in my mind and in my heart, depending on where I'm, how spiritually healthy I am, I can get dragged into one of two camps, really pious and high and mighty, or really down and out. And I seem to always be wrestling with, does God love me or does he love my behavior? And when my behavior feels good or right to me, feel good. And when I realize I'm struggling with some stuff or I may have come across to somebody else in a way that is not Christian, or doesn't represent Jesus, well, I struggle. So Pastor Pete, that's the context for me personally.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up.
So the good news is, does God love me or does he love my behavior? The answer is yes.
He loves which one?
Both. Because he loves us in Christ. So he loves us as individuals, who we are, just me, that I am his treasured possession. You know, there's that passage in Exodus, at Mount Sinai, God told the Israelites, you are my treasured possession. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Paul applies that to all of us as believers, that we are his treasured possession, that we are precious to him, that he loves you in Christ, no strings attached. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you while we were still sinners. Christ died for us, right? So yeah. He loves us unconditionally. And then does he love your behavior? The answer is the same. Yes, he does, in Christ, because he looks at our behavior and he has to look at our behavior in connection with Christ, because apart from Christ, nothing is right. But in Christ, everything looks perfect to him. Because the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of those sins, right?
Right. Can you dive into that one just a little bit more? You know, I'm thinking too, for somebody who might be listening and who's kind of newer to this, how do I make sense of what you just said there?
Right. So, as you know, God's law certainly convicts us. We are all guilty. The reality is we don't even begin to understand how guilty we are. And that's part of the reason why sometimes we pat ourselves on the back. It was a good day. I got a lot done. God loves Peter today because I was a really good pastor. I got a lot done and I did nice things. And so God loves me. I fall into that. I don't even think about how everything that I do is contaminated by sin. So pride wells up. Or despair. You know, I failed. It was a lousy day. Our identity as God's treasured possession and the value of our works in God's sight are the same. Our identity is a saint, perfectly forgiven because of Jesus. And our offerings of service are perfect in God's sight. 1 Peter chapter 2, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And sometimes our offerings of service will be, you know, ones that the Holy Spirit was working pretty hard and we did some amazing things. And sometimes our offerings of service are pretty lousy, and you know, God has to make it work out the way he knows is best, because we blew it in so many ways. But does God love my behavior? In Christ he does, because it's perfectly forgiven, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about how does God feel about me, I always have to step inside of Christ. Think of Christ like a room that you step into, and I live in Jesus, and here in Jesus, I'm perfectly loved, and everything that I do is perfect in God's sight. But then when I realize, man, I live here in Jesus, then I look around and, you know, Mike knows my office is a cluttered mess. I look around and go, there's things that I want to clean out of this room because they don't belong here. They look cluttered. Not because God doesn't love my behavior. It's because I recognize, that stuff I can throw out. We don't need those anymore. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that just wants to sit in that space. You know, especially when you were saying about, you know, when we can see the productive value and we can tie it to fruits of the Spirit, say, okay? So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And when I see those kind of fruits in me, I feel pretty good. But when I'm working and I'm frustrated or I'm impatient and some of that bleeds over, I realize in that moment that maybe this doesn't count. You know, like kind of like that doesn't, I didn't really add value there because I wasn't really obedient, or I was tainted so much with stuff that I'm aware of. Like I'm actually aware of my sinful attitude, even though I was maybe doing something productive. And I just feel restless in my heart. Like, I know you don't golf, but you talk about the mulligan. Like there are some times where I've shot 5 balls into the woods consecutively. And it's like, now I'm just angry, but I want another shot because I want it to go straight in that glorious arc and land on the green the way that I know I can. I know I can do that, but time and time again, it does not go there. It's so rare that you get the perfect golf shot. I honestly sometimes feel like that, even though, you know, we work together and God has blessed us here in our congregation to do some amazing things. And You've been a part of some amazing things. I've been a part of some amazing things. Mm-hmm. And somehow that doesn't satisfy.
And you know why?
Go ahead.
We stepped out of the room. Whether we're if we're patting ourselves on the back and saying, this was a really good day. God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
We've stepped out of the room of Christ. And we're saying, aren't I a good person, Jesus? You just got to love me because I'm such a great person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, and where I live most of the time is I live outside that room, outside the room of Christ, not feeling, oh, I'm such a good person, but I failed, I failed, I failed. Mulligan, 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 mulligan. Yeah. And it's because I've stepped out of Christ.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying I've lost my faith.
Right.
But in that moment, what I've done is I am basing my value as a person. I'm basing my value of the work that I do based on, does it measure up to my expectations, rather than stepping inside of Christ and living in this room of God's forgiving grace and going, my value is absolutely complete because Jesus loves me, and my works are absolutely complete because Jesus loves me. And that's true on those days when I've eaten up the world, and that's true on those days when I feel like I failed everybody within my area of influence.
Mm. Yeah, I appreciate
easier
that.
Said than, you know, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
One of my favorite passages.
Yeah. In our small group last night, you know, one of the questions was, what's your favorite miracle? And it didn't get around to me before we moved on, but my favorite miracle is when Jesus releases this young man who's been demon possessed his whole life. And his dad says, you know, Jesus, if you heal my son? And Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And the father says, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief.
Yeah.
That's where I am every day. And, honestly, people who know me, my public persona, probably think, he's always, you know, right here in the Jesus room. He's always, you know, in a good place. But my family and my friends here on staff, they know that, man, I am so often stepping out of Jesus and beating myself up because I'm not worth, I am worthless and my works are worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that you talk about sometimes the weight of leadership for anybody who feels that you feel like you can't afford to get it wrong, and that there's that perfectionistic thing. And so, we've been talking as I get older, I run into more and more situations
I try to counsel Mike that he is not getting older because I am not. just for our listeners to realize that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not getting older. But as I get older, I do think, you know, I work with young adults, and so I remember this in myself. I watch this in the generation of young people. You know, we come up with a very binary, black and white, true, false, belief system, you know. Like, for every challenge, there's always a right response and a wrong response. And yet the older I get, the more, way more complex it is. Like, there isn't a right or wrong decision necessarily. There is always a, well, God willing, this one's better and this one is less worse. It's really hard to see a binary black and white decision because there are so many nuances that I can't possibly know, and yet I feel this superiority, like I'm supposed to do it this way because God loves me, and so I need to get this behavior right. And I keep running into things in this world in which there doesn't seem to be even a right way to think about it. So you start asking questions, and when you start asking questions, you get more information than you can possibly fathom, and you're like, how are you supposed to even make a decision on this? And now I'm tied to my behavior,
mm-hmm.
outside of the room, and it's just, I don't know why I'm more aware of this now, but it strikes me that when I watch young people, you know, and I've got young adults at home, but I also work with them for a living, I see this struggle more pointed about, am I loved or is it my behavior? And I've been trying to wrestle with that for them. But as I started wrestling with that for them, I realized that, no, this is very much a struggle that I have.
Right. So I really do think it begins, though, with, I am simply loved. One of my sisters in Christ, I was visiting with her a couple of weeks ago. She said, you know, I never really thought about that I'm precious to Jesus. You know, that, oh, he loves me, but I'm precious to him. And it just kind of cut me to the heart. It's like, oh, you know, I failed you as a pastor, you know.
Right.
And she wasn't saying that, you know, she just said, it finally dawned on me. And I believe that's one of those things. The Lord, open our minds to understand this, that I am precious to God just because I am.
Yeah.
Because he values me, and he values me in Christ.
I love that. And I'm going to use that as a segue space, to kind of talk about maybe an application that I pray that I can be better at, and that maybe as Christians we can be better at. You know, when we're talking about does God love me or does he love my behavior, I was thinking about, what about the application for me as a Christian or the church, you know? And if you were to flip that, does the church love me or does the church love my behavior? Does the Christian love me or does the Christian love my behavior? And we're in a political year, so the tensions tend to rise because everybody feels that the stakes are higher. And if the right guy or gal wins, then my agenda or the right agenda will be there. And if they lose, you know, we're going to lose our country, and God's going to obliterate us like he did Israel and take us off to Babylon. And it's kind of funny, but it's actually very, very palpable. And as Christians, we all, it doesn't have to be politics. It could just be family dynamics. It could be dealing with addictions and mental health. One of the tensions I think that happens is when I don't reflect Jesus well, I give the impression that either the church doesn't love you, they really love your behavior, or worse yet, that God loves you, or God loves behavior. So that the two things I would see, Pastor, if you could speak into it, when I have failed that, what do I do with that? And then what should my attitude as a Christian be toward people who don't live like me, don't vote like me, don't act like me? Those would be two places. How can the church align better with the in Christ? How can the Christian, just you, you know, for me at home, in my neighborhood, you at home in your neighborhood, how can we reflect what you just said about in Christ loved, and he loves our behavior and the way he sees it? How do we go from there? How do we deal with those two things? When I've failed, and what should this look like? What can this look like as a Christian?
I think James and Peter have some good responses. Right at the end of James, it says, if any of you is sick, confess your sins to each other. You know, how do we claim that? Certainly being in the Word, right? But sometimes we just need a fellow Christian to hear of our failures and assure us of forgiveness. You know, I probably, you know, this may be boasting and bragging, but I probably appreciate the announcement of forgiveness that I hear from, it's usually Pastor Keel or Pastor Bonach doing the liturgy. And if I'm preaching, you know, I'm I'm 10 feet to their right.
Yeah.
And I hear them say, you know, by, you know, the authority, as a called servant of the word, I announce the grace of God unto you, and your sins are forgiven. And I appreciate that probably more than most, just because that guy standing 10 feet from me knows me pretty well.
I had not thought of it that way.
You know, and he is even saying to me that my sins are forgiven. Right?
Yeah.
And so, find a Christian that you trust and just share. Here's my battles. I mean, that's what, you know, a good counselor is somebody that you can share. Here's the battles, here's the questions, the doubts that I have, and they won't cast you away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, you know, Christians can't provide the professional mental health counseling that, you know, Pastor Bonac has been trained to do.
Right.
But we can all offer, you know, the understanding of your sin and the fullness of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
So confess your sins and assure each other of forgiveness. And then as we deal with other people, the passage that came to my mind is love covers over a multitude of sins. Right? God loves me even though, you know, yes, my behavior very often does not reflect his will, but he still loves me in Christ. Well, if I live in Christ, then I want to look at other people in that same way. I love them. God, when he loves me, is not saying, and Pete, I really love it when you get filled with pride or you get filled with despair. He's saying, I love you, Pete, and I will work with you and help you grow. Isn't that true for us? No matter what the circumstance is, this is God's call to me, is love covers over a multitude of sins. I'll still love this person, even though they are doing something wrong, even though they are hurting me, you know, and this shows the depth of our sin, because it's like, it is really hard to love some people.
Yeah.
Rumor has it, some people think I'm a really hard person to love. Let's be honest, you know.
Right, right. Yep.
There's lots of people who struggle to love me too, mm-hmm. you know, and all right. That's part of the clutter in my room of Jesus that I got to go. That doesn't belong in this room. I live in this room of Jesus, and that part just doesn't belong. And I just got to throw that out and keep on loving people that I disagree with. And it is hard to convey love and not convey agreement with everything that they say and do.
Yeah, that's challenging.
You know, I don't want to just diminish that. That is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just talking about what's the attitude of my heart. I mean, that to me is the key. If the attitude of my heart is right, you know, if I'm filled with that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, you know, the right words and actions are going to flow.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of my ability, right?
Right.
If my attitude is right, if my attitude is wrong, there's nothing that somebody can tell me to do is going to be right.
You know, as you're talking, correct me if I'm wrong on this or modify it, but God doesn't wait for me to come back into his room to love me. Whether I'm inside the room or if I'm outside the room, God loves me. And for me, being a sinful human being, I don't have that capacity to love people that way. I tend to love people when they're in the Jesus room, preferably the same Jesus room with the same color and stuff in my walls, you know? So the Jesus, the way that I see Jesus, I love you when you're that. But if you're outside of the Jesus room, again, that justice piece, I feel like I have to make sure that you understand you're not in the Jesus room. I have to tell you that.
Let's narrow the down the Jesus room to the Mike and the Pete room.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
because that's you're right. That's what it becomes.
They are not in my room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't honor me and recognize that if they would just bow down and worship me as God, that I know everything right, I would always get along with people, right?
Right.
If they would just step into the Pete room.
Right. Mike's Ten Commandments, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
And yet that is tends to be how we as Christians view people outside. Why is it so hard to be the Good Samaritan? Why is it so hard to be Jesus and let the fruits of the Spirit happen, even when we're under persecution or we're in a place where we just simply disagree with the way that culture lives or a family member lives or a friend, whatever? And it's so important for us to be able to start with. It reminds me of the Lord's Prayer: "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." I have to start with, despite how messed up I am, God loves me inside the room and outside the room, but he loves my behavior as well inside the room, but somehow God washes all over that. He uses even my sinfulness is a way to bring honor and move the gospel forward. I think especially when we acknowledge our need for a savior, that I don't just say, "Jesus came for all y'all. I'm pretty good." That's not the gospel, by the way. I really appreciate the room. When you said it, you know why you feel that way? Because you're outside the room. Pete, give me one or two just thoughts as we close. For everybody who's listening, who struggles with, does God love me? Does God love my behavior? Yes, he wants you in the room. If I struggle to love other people, part of it is like, give me the heart of God, that I would be reminded that you forgave me, and with the best of my ability, I'm going to start with that attitude toward all the other sinners around me, which is everybody, and then help me take on your voice and your speech and your attitude toward them. That's hard to do. Especially if, you know, you haven't been around this for long. And even if you've been around it for a long time, I know a lot of Christians who just don't, for a long time, I did not read this daily. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it into my 40s, which is embarrassing, but it's true. I struggle with it. I thought, well, I'm listening to a podcast and I got this little thing that comes up. I got a Bible passage. It's not the same for me anyway, to be able to be in the Word. And I just have found that it messes me up. What are a couple ways that can help us stay in that room longer and see people through the lens of that kind of love? Is there a couple things you'd advise for us as we grow?
It's the means of grace, right? Use the Word. Go back to your baptism. Claim your identity as a baptized child of God. Go to the Lord's Supper regularly. You know, what a beautiful thing to, you know, have. You know that I think of the Lord's Supper like a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to have Jesus wrap his arms around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then find a person who can be Jesus to you. Who can wrap his or her arms around you and say, "You know what? I know so much of the garbage that troubles your heart, and I still love you, and Jesus still loves you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the ministry of the keys and confession is.
Right.
You know, it's applying the promise of forgiveness to us as individuals. We can't get enough of that. And the more responsibility that we have as, you know, parents, as spouses, as you know, I think of, you know, our teachers, you know, all these kids looking up to you. If you're in a workplace that, you know what, that there's one or the two Christians here, and the rest of us are, everybody else, I, you know, boy, there's so much responsibility that I need to be Jesus to these people. That's all the more reason that you got to keep on getting a hug from Jesus.
Oh,
Word,
that's good.
sacraments, personal confession, you know, and that sounds so awkward, but just somebody who says, you know what, I love you. And God loves you.
I love that. Keep getting a hug from Jesus. God's word will do it. Your baptism does it. Communion does it. And a Christian friend does it. And if we want to do this Jesus thing and be ready for the world and reflect his love to the world, part of it is receiving it, to be able to reflect it back. And so that's awesome. Keep getting a hug from Jesus.
God gives us some amazing pictures, doesn't he? It's
Yeah.
good day.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you. This did what I hoped it would do, for at least for me and for all of you who are listening. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. And if there are questions that come out of it, I would love to hear what you guys have to say. But thank you, Pastor, for this one.
And thank you, Mike. This has been very helpful for me. Whenever you talk about God's word, both people benefit. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, everybody, that is this week's episode of Great Questions, Great Conversations. We're talking about, does God love me or does God love my behavior? Yes, he does. And if you just got to the end because you wanted to get the final thing, you're going to have to listen to the whole thing now. So anyway, we hope that you are blessed by our time together. We will see you guys again next week.